give us some background music. Help me as I get ready. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Who knows it's good to be alive this morning? You're grateful for the breath in your lungs, that you were able to wake up this morning, maybe that you were able to have breakfast or that hot cup of coffee. I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful to be here. You know, this is not something that I take lightly. And I just hope that this morning God will actually just speak into you. He'll speak to where you're at and he'll come and meet you. You know, when my father-in-law asked me to speak this morning, my instant reaction was to say no. And I had a number of reasons why I didn't want to. And I don't think they were bad reasons. I think they were really valid reasons. I've got two young kids, for those that don't know. And I've started a business, and trying to run a household in the middle of all that can be chaotic. Who can agree with that? And some days are fun, and some days are funny, and some days are just downright crazy, and you just are trying to survive. Who knows that feeling with young kids? Maybe it's just overall. But you know, so at first I was like, "No, God, no. I don't want to do this. I don't think I can do this," was actually the real reason. And, you know, my father-in-law said to me that we've all been there. We've all been through dry seasons. We've all been through hard seasons. And he said to me that you get through it with God's grace. And I really think that this morning I'm here by God's grace. And he's graced me to bring this word to you this morning. You know, I don't need to be qualified. I don't need to have a degree. I don't need to have anything else but the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So I hope that you know that this morning hasn't come easy. I'm not here and I don't take this lightly. And I just want to pray that God will meet you where you're at. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, dear Jesus, we just want to thank you for your precious blood, for your presence here this morning, for your sweet, sweet presence, God, that brings comfort and it brings healing and it brings freedom. And right now, I just pray that all over this church, God, that every single individual here, no matter at what point they're at, Lord Jesus, that you would come and you would meet them. You would come, Holy Spirit, and you would bring comfort, that you would come and bring healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that nature can teach us so many lessons? How creation has so much to teach us about our life and about our faith. I believe that that the creation is actually just an illustration of the Creator's divine nature. That what you see out in the oceans and in the sky, what you see in nature is actually just God's nature. It's the way that he operates. And if you read Romans chapter 1, verse 20 in the NIV, and I think Daniel's got that for us, it says this: For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Psalm 33 verse 5 says, "The earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction." In other words, anywhere that you look, whether it's the sky, whether it's the sea, whether it's the mountains or the valleys, whether you're staring at a flower or a tree that's grown in your backyard, everywhere you look, the earth is screaming of God's faithfulness and of his love. You know, if there's anything that I've learned in this last season of my life, it's that growing isn't easy. Who can agree with that? Growing up isn't easy. Going deeper in your faith is not easy. You know, Nat spoke last week about getting out of your comfort zone, and she's bang on. Growing is, it can actually be pain. It can be painful. It can be so uncomfortable that you just want to retreat and you want to hide. Growing can sometimes be challenging and it can mean sorrow, and we actually don't want to do it. We don't want to go through it. But you know something that I've learned this last season is that growing actually requires a breaking first. In order to grow, you must break. It's not fair, is it? That you need to break something in order for it to grow. Consider how life begins. One cell. One cell. How does human life form? By that cell breaking into two. That cell breaks in order to grow. And there's a continual breaking that happens over the course of your life, where your cells will continue to break exponentially in an exponential amount of times in order to grow a human and for that human to bring life. Consider a plant or a flower. You know, we see the end result and we think how beautiful, but that what had to happen in order for that plant to grow? A seed had to die. It had to break in the ground in order to bring that plant. So I'd like to say to you that this morning, that if you have purposed to grow in your faith, if you have purposed to grow in life, to grow anything, that first you must break. If you think about it, breaking is a change. Breaking is a change. To break off the old and to come into the new. That's what growing is. You know, it might be something that you're working on. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's, I don't know, a lack of patience or compassion. I don't know. But in order to break those bad habits, you must let go. You need to change. You need to break off the old and let the new come through. Isn't that crazy? You know, I've been reading this book called The Broken Way by Anne Voskamp, and her husband is a farmer, and he puts it just so beautifully, and he says this: the seed breaks to give us the wheat. The soil breaks to give us the crop. The sky breaks to give us the rain. The wheat breaks to give us the bread, and the bread breaks to give us the feast. There was once even an alabaster jar that broke to give him all the glory. There's no miracle of growing without a breaking. It's God's design. It's in nature for you to see. And I want to share with you this morning just a little bit of my own personal experience of growth for the last 18 months. You know, I'm very, very conscious of the fact that there might be people here with real trauma and real heartache, and that situations are worse than mine. And I am very sensitive to that fact. But I can only share out of my own personal life. And so I'm just here to tell you about what God's been teaching me. And you know, the last probably 18 months to 2 years has felt like a personal breaking. And I don't know if maybe you have been experiencing the same thing. It was a marker for me because, you know, I just had my second son, and if you knew me before kids, you knew that I had real, aspirations, and I took my career seriously. And, you know, I worked hard. I worked really, really hard to get where I was. And I felt like I was at a crossroads. After baby number two, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I should go back, thank you, or if I was going to, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. And with a very young baby, 9-month-old, I remember crying out to God so many nights, just so confused. So confused about what the future looked like. So confused about, God, where would you have me and my family? What do you have for us? I would cry out at night trying to calm my baby back to sleep. On my knees asking God, what do you have? What's next? What's next? Long story short, I decided to quit my job. After 17 years of investing my time, my energy, my putting all my plans into something, I decided to leave. And that was a hard enough decision, but at the time, it was made even harder because the company was giving out redundancies. And it sounds maybe superficial to you, I don't know, but who knows that after 17 years working for one company, that if they're giving out redundancies, you want one. But I chose to quit. I chose to quit and I chose to, I guess, break away from my career, break away from something that I had invested and built my time into, and I left it. And I said to God, my kids come first. I don't want to miss out on their childhood. I didn't have my kids so that I could miss out on them. Time is so precious. So I left. And, you know, during the same season, we had some really hard news as a family. And there was another breaking. And that breaking left behind broken hearts. It left behind broken hearts. And the heaviness of that season sat on my shoulders for a long time. You know, someone very close to me decided that God wasn't real, that God no longer existed. And that hurt, that weighed on me. During that season, I had so many feelings. Regret. I had a broken heart. I felt unworthy. I felt dumb. I felt so dumb. I can't even explain that to you. I know it sounds harsh, but I just felt that's how I felt. Can anyone relate? I'm sorry to black. This is not meant to be like a deep counseling session, but I'm just here to give you my testimony. Is that all right? Yeah. And I was left wondering whether my faith was real. My circumstances made me just stop in my tracks and ask if God was real, if what I was living out was really real, and if it was enough. So how do you grow with a broken heart? How does being broken, tired and weary make you more like Christ? And is it okay to not be okay as a Christian? You know, one thing that I've always, I'm very analytical if you don't know me, but I'm very analytical. I'm always analysing my thoughts and my feelings, and I end up in rabbit holes that just lead me nowhere. But it's true, ask my friends. But, you know, I mean, I cry at important things, I really do, but I also cry at completely random things too. And, you know, I always thought that my emotions were my weakness because I couldn't hold it together in a meeting when I, you know, was told some bad news at work or something and I just would react. Or maybe, you know, you've experienced roller coaster of emotions like on the daily, especially as a mum. Like I'm telling you now, I can go from admiring my sleeping child and how miraculous life is itself and just stare at them and be on this beautiful, overwhelmed by life, to then my screaming child who is throwing a tantrum over nothing and trying to calm them down. It's just like it's this massive roller coaster. You can go up and down, up and down, up and down in one day. And like I said, I always thought that my emotions were my weakness. But what I realized, and I'm sorry that I'm... What I realized was that my emotions are not what's wrong. When your emotions, when you're in circumstances or situations, is not wrong. The word emotion comes from the Latin word that is the same for motion or for movement. So your feelings or emotions are meant to move you. They're there to move you, and I believe they're meant to move you towards God. Anne Voskamp also in her book says this: feelings are meant to be fully felt and then fully surrendered to God. So maybe like me, sometimes you feel like all around you, everything is breaking. It can seem that way. There could be sickness or financial strain, or maybe relationships have dissolved. Or maybe someone's left us on earth and we're meant to keep on moving without them. And I don't know, maybe your heart here for some reason is breaking this morning. Maybe there's something that you've gone through recently this morning. And maybe you're sitting there going, I can't quite relate. And if that's you, then let me tell you, pain and suffering and grief is part of this life. And it's not because God is cruel, but that's the process of growing too. To be honest, sometimes I feel like I'm just a broken human being passing on my brokenness to my children. I worry about that. I'm worried that sometimes my failing to be the mother that I want to be, that they'll end up the same. And, you know, the truth is, though, that unfortunately, anything that I try and do for my kids cannot keep them protected. We cannot keep them sheltered. You cannot bubble wrap your children so that they will never experience heartache or heartbreak. I can't control everything in their life. I can't. But you know what I can do? There's one thing that I can do. And that's point them to the source of healing. What I can do is teach them that growing doesn't come without a breaking. And that our broken hearts can lead us to His heart. It is His wounds that heal our wounds. Daniel, if you can put up, please, Matthew 26:37-38, it says this. This is just before Jesus was captured and sentenced to death. Verse 36 says, "Then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. He told them, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' He took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, "My heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying." Stay here and keep watch with me. Then verse 39 says, then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if there's any way that you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me." Verse 45 to 46, it says, from noon to 3, the whole earth was dark. Around mid-afternoon, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Jesus' soul felt deep agony and pain. His heart was crushed with grief, and he felt as though he was dying. Who knows that pain can actually feel so physical sometimes, that your heart can ache, that it feels like it's being crushed. Jesus felt abandoned. His body was broken. But what did he do? Verse 39 says that he took what he was feeling and he ran to the Father. He ran to the Father. What did he do with what he was feeling? He didn't sit in it on his own. He ran to the Father and he threw himself on the ground and he prayed. He took everything he was feeling to God. "Please, God, take it from me, but not my will, your will." Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole. And in his wounding, we find our healing." What do you do with your brokenness? You bring it to his broken body. You know, Jesus isn't asking us to be perfect. He isn't asking you to not be real and to stop feeling what you're feeling. He's simply asking you to turn to him with those feelings. He's asking you to run towards him so that in turn he can heal you and that you can grow. Psalms 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." It's what he's here for. And maybe your broken way, maybe whatever you're experiencing, is making a way for change. Maybe it's making a way for growth like you can't even understand. I read this quote somewhere whilst I was challenged and wondering what was going on. It says, "A robust faith is one that has been wrestled with, taken a beating, pushed to the edge, whittled down to what is left, feels at the time tinier than what was once, yet in fact more potent and powerful than the previous whole, and becomes a seed which moves mountains. Give me a pure glimmer or a tiny seed over a manufactured fluorescent or bright but momentary bouquet any day." Your growth doesn't have to mean bigger or better. It can also mean purer and more potent. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up on stage, and I'm just going to be really bold in asking you this morning, is there something that's broken in you? Because you see, we're all the same. Don't mistake it. We're all the same. There's no denying it. Have you reached a point in your life where you feel like there's no restoration or there's no growing out of what you're going through? Is it a broken heart or a broken relationship? The loss of someone you love? Is it your past regrets, or is it failures that keep haunting you, that keep coming back to remind you that you really messed up? Is it something that you tried and it just didn't work, and it makes you question your worth and your ability? Maybe if you're good enough at all. You know, I think I've been pretty clear that as part of life, pain comes to us all. Brokenness comes to us all. And I felt so heavy this week, and I've really prayed that if this is you this morning, if you are also experiencing heartache or heartbreak or going through something that's just, it feels like it's crushing you, like it's agony, and you don't know how to grow through it. And we've been talking about growing. How do you grow with your broken heart? I'll tell you how. You bring your brokenness to God. You exchange it for Jesus' broken body. And He will heal you. I'm going to ask you to stand, church. I know it's just such a simple reminder, right? It's just the gospel. It's just the gospel. That's all it is that I've just said this morning. It's so simple. But sometimes we need a reminder. Then this life can get hard. This life can make you feel like Maori said this morning, like you have been beaten up, like circumstances have come against you and you don't know what to do or where to go. I know where to go. Let me tell you where to go. To the foot of the cross. So I'm going to invite you, this altar is open. And if you need personal healing this morning, if there is something that has broken in you that is causing you to question life itself, to question, is God real? Has He forgotten me? Has He abandoned me in my circumstance? Life isn't fair all the time. If that's you, I'd like you to come to the front. And there's no coercing. It's either you or it's not. But I believe it's all of us. We're going to sing a song this morning that I just pray in those moments as you're crying out to God, and it can be in your own seat if you're too embarrassed to come out or you feel like it's not you. It doesn't matter. But this song, I really believe, has the ability to break something off your life. So I'm going to ask the worship team to sing, and I'm going to invite you, like I said, to come out of your seats and spend some time with God, because He's here. He wants to heal you. Amen.